Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go, so in. Got a girl with a friend, you'll be both in.
Fucking A.
Fucking A, man.
Fucking A. That's like the worst.
That is the worst.
It's fucking like A.
Fucking A. When I think of fucking A, I think of like a fat football player.
Fucking A, man.
Like a white guy that smashes beer cans on his forehead.
We're just like a soundbite at like a party in high school in the woods.
Mm-hmm. It's very party in the woods.
By the way, I'm Carrie.
I'm Larry. And
I'm Lara.
I'm Lara. And you're listening to Lara X12.
Sexy.
Unique podcast.
The final episode of Vanderpump. I realized I was the first guest on your recap season of VPR, and now I'm the last.
Oh my God, a full circle moment.
Full circle.
Saving the best for last was really everyone's motivation, I guess, on this episode.
And if you're a reader and you were like, oh God, the last thing I want to hear is Carrie on another fucking episode of Sexy Unique Podcast recapping Vanderpump Rules, tough shit.
Yeah, too fucking bad.
Tough titties, as Ma Sheila would say.
Hate tough titties.
I know. Remember Ma Sheila said that on Wild Wild Country?
Oh, I actually didn't see. I didn't watch all of Wild Wild Country.
She went, tough titties. It's like the most. It's
tough
gross.
Titties is disgusting. And I would even argue it's offensive to women who have breastfed.
Sorry.
No, I'm not saying that like against you. Like you can say whatever you want. I give you a pass.
Thanks.
But
it is
just
offensive.
Like in general, tough titties is disgusting. Think of something else.
What does it
say.
Even mean?
I think it means like, I think it's like a breastfeeding reference where it's like, oh, you're trying to breastfeed, but your tit is tough. Your tit has crusted over and it's so tough, like you're not going to get milk. I mean, that is
God.
True. That's just what I think. I have no basis.
I thought it was just alliteration.
No. I think that it's like a tough titty.
Okay. I didn't know that. I don't want to make like breastfeeding jokes.
I mean, readers so. Weigh in. Am I right or am I right? Because that sounds pretty right to me.
Well,
so
have I been canceled?
Yeah, you're officially canceled. You're fucking
I don't
canceled.
I've literally, other than when I've literally been like, and then Ma Sheila on Wild Wild Country said tough titties. And then just now, I don't use tough titties in my life.
Well, now you've said it 14 times.
Fuck.
So the cancellation continues. When you try and dig yourself out of the cancel hole, you just end up getting more canceled.
This is how you cancel a homosexual. By just...
You go... But, you, it's been actually my long con to cancel you is finally complete.
Yeah.
When I first met you, I was like, God, I'm really going to set out to just cancel this man.
What if that was like... That'd be a good movie.
That would be a good movie where everything...
Like your friend
up to like an ultimate cancel.
Like one of your best friends you realize the whole time has been like plotting your cancellation.
That is like... That's terrifying. Like my throat is closing up.
you have like strep throat just from hearing that.
No, I'm like allergic to thinking I'm canceled. It's literally I'm like about to have a panic attack.
I've kind of been canceled.
Yeah, you Heather's people tried
Heather's
to
literally
Heather.
Was.
People successfully canceled and like censored free speech canceling Heather's.
They also like canceled all the writers. I mean, I was called Trumpian. That was great. But yeah, to be canceled is I wake up every day like this is my day. This is my day.
I know it's really scary.
Scary time. And it's like right now is like a really like no it's kind of like everyone's running through a minefield right now. Everyone's exposed and everyone is like home and like has too much time on their hands and people are like just saying anything willy-nilly and no one has like people telling them no cuz they're like not with anyone right now. So it's like everyone's like running through like a landmine.
Yeah, I mean, celebrities are one, they're like their own breed of stupidity where like they actually need to be like, they need to be like controlled by like higher powers because they just like know not what they do in a lot of ways. So like they say things out of just like raw ignorance that come off badly. But then I think there are other people that like have a lot of time on their hands. And they're just like saying shit where normally they wouldn't be saying as much shit. But then there are a lot of people that are just like on the internet ready to go in. Yeah. So
I think it's like people, I have a theory that some people who are like have fairly large platforms on social media, sometimes they just reach a point where they're like, I have to self-immolate. Like they're
well,
like
I
can't
it.
Handle it anymore.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like oh, like they're just like it's got to stop. Now's the time. I'm
like
detonate.
I think most of them are garbage, but ignorant. But I think they're. I just feel like there are some people. I'm like it's almost like damn. Like you just. It's almost like you were just like time to die.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it anymore.
I think there are also people that realize that they can. They have a lot to gain from getting canceled or like almost getting canceled. So they orchestrate situations where they like know exactly what they're doing so that they can then come back and apologize and like make
for
it
sure.
right. I've definitely seen that like play out online over Quora.
I was just trying to look and I have someone in mind that I wanted to. No, but I agree. I feel like it's like, canceling sometimes is like the biggest cachet you can get.
Yeah. But like
Alison Roman.
I don't think things are going well for her.
Yeah. She just got fired.
Yeah, she like shit's like real bad.
What do you think about all that?
She could it's hard because I think it's now such like, it's such loaded water that like, I feel like even having an opinion, like I feel like she's gotten so canceled that even if you have an opinion that differs from anyone else's opinion, you too are at risk.
Yeah. I'm no comment on this one.
You just tried to cancel me just now.
No, because I thought you were going to say no comment.
I've
never tried to cancel you.
I know. I'm kidding. That was a joke. That was a total joke.
If you were getting canceled, I would fling myself from a catapult, like like corpse body being flung into the. I'd be like, all right, I'm going in.
Yeah, and I mean,
if any of my friends get canceled, I will go down with them. I will defend.
Yeah, I'll defend. I don't have friends, though, that I feel like could get canceled for, like, a legitimate reason. Like, I don't have, like, friends. I don't have, like, yeah. I feel like I've read a lot of stuff, like, think pieces about the Alison Roman situation, and it seems like she had a long history of kind of
questionable
appropriation or steamy or, like, not crediting certain like cultures and ethnicities for their contribution to like the food world and then kind of presenting it and like fell into a real like white girl trap. And I think that it was like a long simmering. I think people were waiting for her to like step in a pile of shit. Like, I don't think it was just like this. 'Cause at first I was like, this is bullshit. Like, she talks shit about two like wildly successful rich women and like now she's like paying for it. But then the more I've looked into it, the more it's like, oh, there were definitely like problems afoot. And I think it had been going on for a while.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah. So I
think.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And I think like, yeah, at first I didn't know anything about, cause like, I didn't even know who she was. Mm-hmm. And I was just interested in it just from like a, like outsider perspective. But I just reading it, I was just like reading the actual piece and then kind of figuring out, cause I'm not trying to be like, I don't follow like a lot of like, I don't do like the whole like Bon Appetit, like probably my loss, but I'm not like plugged into that. Maybe I should be, but yeah, it felt just like she was trying, it seemed like she was just trying to get some to sound like salacious. And, but at the same time, it's like, okay, but the two women you did talk about were both women of color.
Yeah, like have a so little like, bit of self-awareness as to like what the fuck you're saying. And then like saying that with abandon and not thinking about it, I guess is a problem. But then also it's like on another level, I just think publicly talking shit about anyone that's like not the cast of Vanderpump Rules is a really bad look. Like it's just never going to come off. You're never going to come off looking good. And then on top of that, to talk shit about someone that is executive producing a show for you is like, you're literally begging for trouble.
That Chrissy Teigen is?
Yeah, Chrissy Teigen, when she tweeted, she was like, it's like, she did a whole thing, like it hurt me to hear her say this, especially when I just signed on to like executive produce her show. And I was like,
that's
honey.
That's fucked.
I mean,
Chrissy Teigen, you know, I read her like she seemed like bummed and it was you know, like I'm sure people have their opinions on her, but like she does whatever she's doing, she does well at.
Yeah. So and like, I think she's like more of a net positive overall. Like she's like positively contributing.
Yeah. And like, that I didn't even realize that. Now it's like, what the fuck were you thinking?
Yeah, that's just
like, idiot.
And I think especially too, talking about other people in your field in that way is like, I feel like that's like 101 when I moved to LA. Like the first thing that they told me, like in my like semester in LA college course at like Columbia College, was like, don't talk poorly about like other people in your industry to people in your industry. Like that's just like, you never want to say anything.
Yeah.
Unless
you can like totally trust the person.
Yeah. Unless they're like your friend and you're just having like a good old fashioned shit talk sesh, like Garcelle and her girls like out for drinks on House
I didn't see it. Hills. I didn't see it yet.
Oh my God.
Kyle. No, I agree with you.
Never get over Dorit's partnership with Buca de Beppo.
Have you ever seen? Have I told you about my Buca de Beppo venture? Wait, let me play it again. She sounds like Buca de Beppo venture. Hold on.
Buca de Beppo venture. I need like a slowed down.
I told you about my new Buca de Beppo venture.
I slowed it down.
I'm crying. There's like a whole scene of, there's like a long scene of Buca de Beppo meeting. I just can't believe it. I actually can't believe the Buca de Beppo of it all.
I know the Buca de Beppo venture.
But then I like got into a real Buca de Beppo K-hole because I was like, is Buca de Beppo like good? And I've never been either. And so I was like, great. How many locations are there? Like, is it like a cute tiny chain or like a big chain?
Oh, it's a chain.
Oh, it has 76 locations in the US, 18 of which are in California. I looked up
18.
Yeah, 18. It has 5 in Ohio. There's 0 in Oklahoma. So that's like, I think my chain knowledge is just from like what I grew up around, which was like the classics, like Olive Garden, Red Lobster, pretty much just Olive Garden and Red Lobster. But like Buca de Beppo, then I was like looking up Yelp reviews and like Google reviews of my local Bucas to see like which one was the best one and what the community had to say. Then I like got on like the one at the Grove doesn't have that good of reviews, but the one in Encino where Dorit is like venturing creative director of Buca de Beppo. That's a chic byline on the res. good reviews. And it's also open right now. It is fully open.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Someone
like in dining?
Yes. Someone like, wrote a review.
Takeout?
When I was on Yelp last night at 2 a.m. looking up the Buca de Beppo ratings of Encino location on Yelp, someone had just posted a review 6 hours prior and they were loving it. They were like, it was like we had the restaurant all to ourselves. I was like, yeah, because there's a fucking pandemic and no one's going out to eat. But I love that. And then I was like, I need to get me to this Buca. Yeah, we should go. Encino, I guess, is just like on their own path.
What if during dinner I just turned to you and I was possessed by this? What would you do? Would you scream?
I would scream. That is truly, that's like.
You would take one of the crucifixes off the wall because it's all Catholic.
And stab you in the throat. Yeah. Stab you in the forehead with it. I would full on Jessica Biel sinner your ass. And then I would have to get, and then there would be a whole series trying to figure out why I had to brutally murder you in the middle of Buca.
Oh my god, that's so it's like we had the whole restaurant to ourselves. Like,
it was like, yeah,
there's a reality where people have no idea that there's a pandemic and they're like, let's go to Buca.
Love that. Someone was really mad though about like Buca's to go orders, because someone ordered a $53 tray of lasagna and they said that they didn't fill the lasagna tray at all, and it was supposed to be enough to feed three people, but it was barely enough to feed two. And they put pictures of it, and I have to say I side with the reviewer on this one. It was certainly not worth $53. If you're gonna give me $53 of lasagna, it better be like a Ronge tray, like Teresa's Catskills house tray of lasagna.
It better be like police benefit lasagna.
It better be literally a truck pulls up and then slowly like forklifts a tray of lasagna onto my like front stoop.
We used to have, for swimming, we used to have pasta parties.
Ugh, love. You got a carb load.
Mm-hmm. I went to Buca. There's a Buca di Beppo. There's a Buca di Beppo in South Jersey, and there's a Buca di Beppo in Philadelphia. And I went to the Buca di Beppo for a birthday, and we sat in the Pope room.
Is that like a? It's like a.
It's a root. Oh,
it's Vatican. Is it Vatican style?
It's a Vatican themed. It's like one of the most famous rooms in the Buca di Beppo, and there's a giant. There's a like a Lazy Susan spin table in the center.
Okay.
And in the center of the Lazy Susan, there's a Pope head.
Nothing you want more than His Holiness watching you inhale like baked ziti.
It's like, it's truly, it's all family style. It's like, but
yeah,
it's
that's
truly,
the draw of Buca, right? Is that it's a family style affair.
But it's like, it's very stregaria. It's very like, do not, thou shalt not have false idols before me. Like, go to a Buca di Beppo.
I mean, I'm like fully ready to see what Dorit does with this location. Anytime they, I just can't believe it. They show the exterior and it's just like, it ain't nothing to write home about. I can't, no, I can't wrap my head around this storyline.
It's really wild.
There's now,
it's really wild.
In Encino, there will be a Dorit designed room, hall of horrors in a Buca di Beppo that's like different than any other Buca in the entire United States, but it's just particular
it's
to Dorit, and it's in the valley, like in deep
in the valley,
in like random valley Buca location that truly is
it's
a destination.
Really,
I can't wait to go. Like, I will be going there.
No, we're going, and I'm you should write an article about it.
I want to like make a documentary about her process, like the design process.
We'll film. Okay, we'll talk. We're in talks.
I just can't.
It's
can't
crazy.
Believe
no, but
it.
You know what? I didn't see last night's episode yet, but like last week, I had to watch it like 15 times because I was like, there was something about the way she turned. It's like. It's
have
like,
I told you about my Buca di Beppo venture?
She says it very carefully at first because she's kind of like, she knows, I think she has some awareness to be like, this is fucking random. And once she gets the reaction she gets from them, which Erica and Denise are like floored by it, Erica's like, you know, I love the chicken parm. Like, I was like, damn, like, this is like a thing. I think once she sees that they're like, wow, that's amazing, she feels free about being like, okay.
Well, but she like, dives the fuck into Buca talks in this week's episode, and I'm truly like, I hope that she, I want to tread lightly because I don't want her Buca journey to ever stop. Like, I want her to continue working with chain restaurants only, and like
wild.
With like abandon. I don't want her to get self-conscious about it because it truly is the wildest merging of sensibilities I've ever seen on reality TV. And I'm like ready for her spinoff show where she works with like Olive Garden next, or like redesigns a bathroom at Charleston's. Like,
I can't tell if it's brilliant or just bizarre.
It's both.
Because
I'm crying. I'm like, truly, I woke up today after watching that episode and my depression had lifted. And I really, truly think it's from Dorit's Buca di Beppo venture.
But it's Buca di Beppo. But it's like,
have I told you, play the slowdown again. I need it.
Have I ever...
You're so pretty.
Buca de Beppo Venture. But it's so weird because it's like, you would think like Dorit, I would see her like maybe doing like a pop-up window somewhere or like, you know, being like partnering with like some restaurant in like the Westfield Mall or something in Century City or like some kind of that, you know what I mean?
With, yeah, like, where she like drapes a jacket on a mannequin.
Yeah.
And is like, wow, amazing. Like she has worked in fashion before this. Like she went from having like a swimsuit line to then having a Buca di Beppo venture.
Yeah.
It's truly all over the map. And I don't know what to make of it, but I love being this perplexed. Like, it's really actually, like, good for my body and soul that Dorit is partnering with a singular Buca di Beppo location in Encino.
I just realized I tweeted last year, in Zeitgeist, I want to get fingered at Buca di Beppo.
You were channeling Dorit.
Yeah.
She saw that or felt that. And she agreed and then made it her number one mission in life to redesign one room at one Buca di Beppo.
That I could get fingered.
Yeah. So that you could get fingered.
I love the idea of being like getting fingered at like
a restaurant.
Something like, yeah.
Yeah. Same.
Well, there was a point, I remember there was a, not to switch gears so fast, we'll return to Buca, but like there was a point in like sixth grade where like, people started getting fingered.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, I didn't even know like what I was then, you know, really. But I was like, I just knew, I was like, I either want to finger or want to get fingered. Like I was like, it was to the point where like there felt like there was this pressure. Like you were either thinking about getting fingered or getting fingered.
Yeah.
Fingering is so, it's so weird, but it was like a thing. Like you would hear like, oh, so-and-so fingered so-and-so at like the pool.
It feels like a very middle school thing to do. But then when we say it out loud, like it also just feels like, because there's like just getting fingered and then there's like getting fingered. You know what I mean? Like you can like anyone can finger, but it takes like a real sexual moment to have like a good fingering experience. And it's just funny because there's just no way that any sort of sixth grade boy is getting another sixth grader off by fingering them.
No, it's just, it's literally just to say like, yeah, we fingered.
Yeah.
But it was like a big, yeah.
It was a big deal.
It was a
blow jobs like, also started to like get into like, the lexicon.
That was unfathomable to me. But yeah, like fingering was like, wild. I could wrap my head around fingering because it was like, it was also deeply funny to me. Like I was like very, like I thought it was hilarious when I heard people saying like they got fingered. I was like, that's really funny.
You didn't watch, you're not watching Summer House, are you?
No.
Oh my God.
Laura's Carrie, pointing her finger at me.
I pointed right at Carrie's soul when I asked him this. There's a whole, this whole first part of the season, the most recent season of Summer House, has a huge fingering storyline.
What?
Carrie, Summer House is literally keying up everything. It has, season three has a whole Paimon storyline, and then season four has a fingering storyline. It's begging for you to watch. I need you to watch it. There's actually no excuse anymore.
Some of my favorite things include Paimon and fingering.
Well, you're in for fucking the ride of your life because Summer House has both of those things for you.
And it'd be better if it was Paimon fingering someone.
I mean, he probably did finger Lindsay.
Oh, I'm talking about the King of Hell.
Oh, if the King of Hell fingered you at Buca di Beppo, you would have the most explosive orgasm of your life.
That would be it.
That's actually how Dorit is going to redesign the room.
This episode of Vanderpump Rules is going to be just about Dorit fingering people at Dorit's going to do it.
She's going to build a shrine to Paimon and invoke his spirit, then invite Carrie to Buca di Beppo and then finger him, and then he'll explode and his guts will go all over the wall, and then suddenly as they drip down a whole new Buca room will emerge, and that's how she redesigns Buca di Beppo.
I got fingered by Derek Hemsley at Book and the Peppa.
You will die in the process,
I will die. It will be beautiful.
I got fingered by Derek
in the Pope room.
We need to make that merch.
Can you make the shirt that says "I got fingered by Derek Hemsley in the Pope room at Buca de Beppo"? I would. I have to get half of the proceeds, but I would literally, I would wear that every single day.
Did I ever tell you about my Buca de Beppo venture?
I want to like partner with Derek.
Laura's not okay. Everyone,
I'm crying. I'm fully sweating and
she's
weeping
right now.
Oh my god!
You're sobbing.
I'm sobbing.
Doreen, her like high braid pony, being like, "All right, come
all
on,
right.
everyone.
Are you ready to get fingered at Buca de Beppo?"
Oh my god! Yeah, I'm excited to watch. Kyle tweeted like some lame at. Kyle was like, "Everyone's coming for me. Like the first party out of quarantine." I was like.
Okay, shut up, Kyle.
Don't write your own tweets.
Kyle's style is so bad, and I'm really glad Garcelle has a moment where she's like, "Your outfit's fucking hideous," where she's talking shit about Kyle, and I was like, yes, finally someone said it.
Because Garcelle's like, hey, I was famous. Like, I was a star. Like, I don't, like, I can... Garcelle doesn't care.
She doesn't care, and she doesn't have to try. She's not a try hard. She just is like gorgeous and cool and like gets it. And I really appreciate that about her.
I'm still really deeply offended about Kyle. I'm so happy that last week Denise Richards said, "I'm fucking Denise Richards." Don't forget that.
Denise is iconic, and I fucking love her so much.
But when she said that, I actually went, yes! Because I was like, wait, because she's. She's actually been very humble about that she was like pretty famous for a while. Mm-hmm. And when she said, "I've been on every magazine cover that these women wish they could be on, I'm Denise fucking Richards," I was so happy that she said that.
Amen.
Sorry, Kyle. I'm sorry.
Kyle, you wish.
Like, no one fucking knew who you were until 2009.
No, you literally were Paris Hilton's aunt that would go out and party with her.
You made one appearance on The Simple Life.
I roomed one of my quick anecdote, and then we'll get into Vando. But when I first moved to LA, I found a woman who was like subleasing a room in her 2-bedroom apartment, and so I moved in, and she was an ex model who had like been on the scene. And like was like legit like a model for a while. And so it was very exciting for me. And she also was like had partied with like Lindsay in Paris and everyone like in their heyday, like around like 2000 early aughts, like 2005-ish and pre. And she would tell, I would always make her like have story time with me where we'd like sit on her bed. And she'd just like tell me stories. And then she said like Kyle Richards was always around and like would just like party hard with Paris. And like, I think she and Paris ended up having a falling out because Paris was like so spun out. And she tried to get Kyle to intervene on the partying with her. And Kyle like wouldn't do it. She like liked the fame and the access too much.
Wait, Paris wanted Kyle to intervene?
No, my model roommate wanted.
Oh, and
she
Kyle
was trying
and her
to like sidebar with Kyle and be like, "We need to like talk to Paris about shit. Like this is like too much. Like blah blah blah."
Holy shit! I bet Kyle did like math.
Everyone's done. I mean, if you have taken any sort of drug, you've done math because it's in everything at this point. Sorry to break it to you.
That's true.
It really is. It's okay. End meth stigma. I personally don't get
end meth stigma,
but
end
some
meth
people
stigma
really love it, and that's fine.
Well, it's. I mean, it's.
I mean,
not,
it's not fine. It's not but fine. Like,
but
it's but
you're
not
right.
Like,
you're right that we need to. There's a stigma. No one. My quick soapbox. Especially in the gay community, there's a stigma around meth that needs to be talked about. And it, I think the sooner we talk about it and acknowledge that it's happening, the sooner that we can, there can be some kind of, I mean, it's not going to end anything, but I don't know what I'm talking about. I just feel like people don't, people joke about it, but no one really takes it seriously that like there's a ton, like there's so much meth.
There's a wild amount of meth. And I think it's like,
I mean, go to West Hollywood.
Yeah. It's hush hush. And I think there's also a stigma around meth that it's like for only disgusting people to do, but it actually is like a very popular party drug. And it's
for
just
sure.
Like, and it,
I've done it,
truly ruins lives.
I mean, I'm trash, but I've done it.
I mean, I'm also trash, but.
But yeah, there's like posh people.
Yeah, but it's like a very common hush hush drug. If you're going to do meth, just do Adderall instead.
Speaking of Adderall,
do Vyvanse. So, speaking of.
The finale is here!
I love that the finale was called Unfriended because it really made me think about, wouldn't it be fun to see the cast of Vanderpump Rules in an Unfriended movie?
Like a ghost Unfriended?
Yeah, like I think that they should. I would love to see a horror movie with the cast of Vanderpump Rules. They all wanted to be like actors and stuff. So like, let's give them the opportunity. And then we also get the pleasure of seeing them like fake killed.
Yeah.
And like, I think that that would be really funny and cool. So if they want
they
can, me to
they
write
all have
that,
to play themselves.
They all play themselves and we like play on the relationships. It's really like fully immersive.
Improv,
radical,
mostly improv.
Radical filmmaking. And I'm ready to write this movie.
Let's write it.
I'm down.
You can write it all, consultant.
Okay.
But wasn't Chris in a horror movie? And Lala was in a horror movie?
Yeah, I saw Lala's horror movie, her like sorority horror. Yeah, I've seen actually, I think, almost every movie Lala's been in, low-key.
Wait, so Randall has another movie coming out called Force of Nature?
What's that?
Someone
there can
sent
only be
a reader.
One Force of Nature, and that's Forces of Nature, starring Sandra Bullock and Ben
so
Affleck.
So good. And
so
Maura
fuck
Tierney.
Off. And Maura Tierney. And fuck yourself, Randall.
And Blythe Danner!
You need to rename that ASAP.
And
I
Blythe Danner!
Stand for it.
I love Forces of Nature.
I love
it's
it.
So good. I've watched it so many times. The wedding at the end when everything's in the wind and like they're in the bubble is so beautiful. And Sandra Bullock is so good in that. And I love when he does... I remember being so like when he did the striptease at the gay bar.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. Blythe Danner's in
devastated.
It.
Devastated. There were so many movies like that too that came out around that time, like that and My Best Friend's Wedding, where like our female protagonist like doesn't get the man at the end, and I always was like deeply disappointed. But then I love that happened for them.
Yeah.
It's like very great. And Sandra Bullock was truly, I was like, goals. I was like, that's who I want to be. A wild woman in cargo pants.
In South Carolina.
In South Carolina. Just wheeling and dealing through life. She's so wild.
It's a great movie.
It was great. So fucking
anyway,
real.
But yeah, the finale's upon us. This terrible season gets an amazing finale, which, you know, makes me... I feel like this now makes me feel like they're truly trolling us, because they knew just when I was about to check out, this episode happened, and I was like, well, now I have to watch next season.
It's true, literal Godfather. Just when I thought it was out, they pull me back in. That's like all, that's my entire life with Vanderpump Rules at this point, is like, this is my primary relationship. It's emotionally abusive, but I stick around.
Most
stick around
the episode,
for the good times.
Like, I stick around for the good place. most of the episode takes place at a tom-tom party because Lisa's doing her... I mean, Lisa's doing a Hollywood Reporter spread about all her restaurants.
Her empire.
Her empire. So they're photographing... They take a little bit of everyone from each place, including her Vegas... cocktail garden. She brings Kara with an H,
which is true. We'll get to it, but it's truly like the end all be all. The music budget also is like so big now. Like they're doing like, I feel like they're doing like knockoff Charlie XCX songs.
Yeah, they are.
I like the upgrade. Like it's definitely a step up from literal like last year where they'd be like, I love LA. It is so great. I love LA. Like,
we're going to LA, to the club, to the farmer's market. I feel like Charlie XCX should record like a theme song.
Why not? You know? But it opens up also with Brett pretending to work at Sir.
Yeah.
And he and Dana are like sidebarring. And she goes up to him and she goes, how is Jackson Brittany's? And he goes, awesome. I was like, was it awesome?
He goes up and he goes, can I get a Bloody Mary?
And then they have a talk about the insane, like, their Last Supper, where Brett goes, I don't have feelings for the girl, like, right in front of Dana. And I thought this would be the moment where Dana has what gathers up whatever shred of dignity she has left and, like, finally turns on him and realizes, like, wow, I'm, like, hot and I don't need to be like floundering in these meaningless storylines where I have literally zero connection with these men, and like now I'm gonna like clap back. But then Dana goes, I really understand what he was trying to say, like, and he was just put in like a weird situation, and like
it's weird.
I don't blame him.
It's weird. Sometimes I think she's actually like too smart for the show, and then sometimes I'm like, wow, you're very boring and lame and don't have any common sense.
To Dana, I've written, Dana is under arrest and her only way to post bail is to shit or get off the fucking pot.
I agree with you. I think Dana needs to just like go full Stassi, early Stassi nightmare in the beginning, or just leave.
Yeah, or be just demoted to like friend of that you check in with. Like she's bringing nothing. There's nothing aside, like I want to look at her, I want to see her, but I don't want to see her in this context. And then to like, they're also like forcing her into these weird side conversations with Stassi, and I'm like, you two like have no relationship, like why are you talking about anything?
Yeah,
I'm like, stop doing that. Like, actually,
their friendship is bizarre.
It's crazy. It's so fake. So I'm like, You are officially, I have a warrant out to citizens arrest her. And if I do see her in the next 6 months, I will place her under citizens arrest.
So what if Dana, you and I appeared in,
I'm literally in Dog the Bounty Hunter with Dana Kathan at this point.
What if you were dressed like Dog and I was dressed like his RIP?
Beth?
His Beth. And,
was that
and
her
we
name?
Came in. Yeah, it's sad. R.I.P.
It's sad, I know.
And then we burst into Sir and arrested Dana. And,
let's
and
do
like,
it.
And like tied her by the ankles and like was like, come on out. And we dragged her out.
We drag her, out.
Put her in the back of a truck and then drive her to like the county jail.
We're going to drive her to a warehouse, like Reservoir Dog style, and then like interrogate her until she makes some serious decisions.
Or a promise to be better.
Yeah, that's like, basically we're just like, we'd like gently tell her, like, you really have to bring it next season. Like, you can't keep doing this, okay? And then she'd be like, fine.
I would just go like this, stop it! Stop! And then you would go, make a promise.
Would you be make good cop or bad cop?
I'd be good cop.
Okay, I'll be bad cop. I want to cosplay as one of my favorite movies, Domino. I'll be Mickey Rourke, and you're Keira Knightley as Domino.
Okay.
I'm Domino Holly.
Remember the trailer? my name is Domino Harvey, and I am a bounty hunter. You're probably wondering what a girl like me is doing in a place like this. And it's like, oh my God. I remember that trailer so vividly. I never saw the movie.
Oh,
I know,
I've
like,
seen
Neve
it
Sarabi's in it.
Literally 8 times. It is one of my favorite movies. And I will be watching it in the next 48 hours. I'm Domino Harvey.
She passed, right?
Yeah, I think she did.
Sad.
Really
my,
sad.
But remember they like do that thing where they like repeat. She's like, my name is Domino Harvey.
It's a wild. The editing in it is wild. It's just like crazy. I was watched that movie when it came out for rent, and then I was like, wait, I like want this life. Like, this is the life that I want to lead.
Oh my God. All this. Now I realize that you've been like lightly cosplaying as Domino Harvey
this entire time. Yeah. Like, literally, you show me like a kind of like a kooky or like a crazy girl off the beaten path, like Domino Harvey or Sandra Bullock in Forces of Nature, and I'm like, me.
That's me.
That's me.
But yeah, Dana and Brett, I just can't, this whole like love triangle, it's just so, I can't.
Brett is I so, can't rec- also so
he's
stupid.
Really,
he needs
he's
to
very
be
dumb.
Off the show. He's unwatchable.
Speaking of canceled, didn't they tweet like racist shit?
Yeah, they actually tweeted like, and that's just the level, just to take it back really quick. Like, I don't think that anything, I don't think Allison Roman should have said anything that she said. And I see exactly why things played out the way they did. But lest we remind you, Brett and Max literally used the N-word all over their social media. Like, actually, like, blatant racism. Not that, like, blatant is worse than, like, low-key. All racism is bad. But, like, what the fuck? They're still, like, on a show. I just feel it's frustrating when women are held to different standards than men. And I think that this is, like, an example of that. And that really frustrates me.
Yeah. I mean, and also, I think Hannah B., who was the Bachelorette, just got canceled for saying the N-word. Like, stop saying the word.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Like, who in their right mind?
Camila Cabello. Like, it's like, you don't have to say it.
No.
And Lisa, and no one really addressed it, right?
Lisa, like, planted stories in Radar Online about how their, like, jobs were on the line and, like, all this shit. And, like, there was a bunch of, like, there were stories about that. And then she gave an exclusive interview to the Daily Mail where she was like, I've thought long and hard about it. And I really don't want to, like, I don't think they deserve to be punished. I think they deserve a second chance. Like, she played the whole press like a fiddle around it. It's just, like, so insane. It's insane that Bravo as a network would allow...
I know.
Like, given the fact that, like, places like these big corporations like Bravo or fucking New York Times or whatever the fuck can, like, bring the hammer down on someone's job for saying stuff, like, it's crazy to think that they would still be in the mix after that.
In the mix. Yeah. The if mix. You don't deserve a second chance after saying that on, I'm sorry. Like, if you put that out on social media,
I mean, you don't deserve to, like, then reap the benefits of being on a show. Like, you can have, like, you can earn back a second chance at life or whatever the fuck you want to do. But, like, if we're going to set a precedent that, like, you get fired for that, it should just be, like, the same. It's just insane. It's just insane. Yeah, it's fucked up.
It really is.
So anyways, Brett is so stupid. He deserves to be fired for a majority. Like, he gives us new reasons every time. It's like, not only has he said, like, racist shit on Twitter, but he also, like, wears his hair in that weird curly style and then wears hats that truly are birthed from hell.
Yeah.
And he made a whole thing about Sheena, which my queen Sheena, I guess, told him on the set of her music video. She was like, I'll pay you with a blowjob, jokingly. And then Brett went all around and was like, she said she wanted to blow me. Like, he was being victimized. I'm like, Brett, we are the victim in this scenario because we have to watch your stupid ass every week.
I know. And yeah, Brett is so, he's dumb, but he's also, like, manipulative. And when you're dumb and manipulative, which is possible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's absolutely possible.
It's a lethal combo.
Yeah. It's awful to watch.
Really awful.
He reveals to Dana and Sheena that Max has fucked 5 girls since he and Dana broke up. And I just wrote stud.
I loved how later in the episode when Dana brings it up, Max just kind of nods. He's like, yeah.
That didn't seem that shocking to me. Like, one girl a week, I feel like that's, like, pretty run of the mill for, like, a guy that wants to, like, fuck a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know gay guys that, like, fuck a guy every week or a couple guys every week. Like, that's not That's not that much.
It's not that much.
If you said like 50 girls, I'd be like, okay, that's egregious. We could pull it back a little bit, but like five girls, I'm like,
no, okay. It's hetero hell. It's like a
hetero hell.
I mean, Dana's bi, so I'm not, but like in this, she's caught up in this, like,
she needs to go into like the lesbians. I'm like, Dana, you're fired from Men, and literally, like, I will take you out on a date.
Because Dana's also, she might be queer and might, you know, she's bi, but she is locked in this hetero hell world where people, where they flaunt their sexuality, but at the same time are oddly prudish and shamey and like, concern. It's, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, that's, I've noticed that too, that these people like flaunt, you know, the men, like they all flaunt their sexuality and like their prowess and like, but they're also deeply like the first people to throw a stone at someone if they think they're like being like promiscuous,
mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Or, like they slut shame, they like, so it's, am I articulating it?
No, yeah, I get what you're saying. It's like, there's so, a like, double to hear, like, standard.
Yeah, it's like to hear five a week and be like, oh, that's disgusting. It's like, no, it's not. It's like, it's not that crazy.
No, it's not that crazy at all. It's pretty like, I mean, it's way more people than I fucked in like the last 10 years. But like, no, I'm like the last like 5 years. But like, what? So what? So what?
Yeah.
So what? Who cares?
So what? So what? Who cares?
Stop. I love to, Peter's in the corner and he overhears it and he goes, Jesus, man. And I just wrote, I'm glad he's paid for this app. The one line he's had, like,
I know.
Poor Peter.
Also, I forgot that Peter shoot where Stassi and someone are flanking him naked.
Oh, yeah. Iconic.
Iconic.
Back Iconic. In the glory days. Then we cut to Lisa's White House of Lies. And Tom and Max are like trudging up the long driveway, and I'm like, Tom is literally her butt boy now, who just like, it's so, their relationship is so weird and makes me really uncomfortable.
Me too. He was like, take it all in, man. I was like, okay, it's not
$30 million heir. It's not that nice. I'll bet her house smells lightly of dog. I mean, I'm just saying. I literally was like, does her house smell like, I mean, I'm sure it smells like a lot of fresh flowers, but I'm sure there are areas of her house that smell like Vanderpump Dogs. And then I'm just like, it's all like, it looks nice on from the outside, but then there's just something really cheap about it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the whole Vanderpump vibe.
Yeah. It's not that, like, there are nicer houses.
A nicer interior design. And like, if you're going to be spending that much money, like, I do love that she has like turtles and swans and a moat, but like, she has like a very unique talent for making a $30 million house look cheap.
Is that house $30 million?
I don't know. I mean, that I'm just going by what Tom said. I don't know.
Do you think, how much money do we think Lisa and Ken have?
I don't know. I feel like they have like 75 mil or something.
It's pretty rich.
Let's Google. Let's do a quick Google. I love just like net worth.
They could be worth more. They could be worth like 100 million.
It says, renowned restaurateur Ken Todd has an estimated worth of 85 million.
Then Lisa has her own net worth.
I'm sure it's about like 50 mil. Does she have her own net worth?
I bet they have a combined.
Is she from a rich family?
Let me look.
I mean, she got married to him when she was 21. So unless she's from like a really wealthy family, I doubt that she was bringing like a lot of money to the table.
Lisa's fortune is 65 million, 90 million. That's what Celebrity Net Worth says. They're very rich.
They're very, very rich. So their house could easily be $30 million or whatever. But as the queen, Luanne de Lesseps, said, money can't buy you class.
What's Freckles' line? Some things
sometimes
that are expensive
things
are
that
worse.
Are expensive or worse. And that's exactly the vibe in Ken and Lisa's world.
Yeah.
She goes
to
that.
So they go up.
They go up, and then she says to them, she's like, in the past, we've done some great photo shoots. And I just wrote, are they great?
No, the Were greaser one. The rockabilly.
That was actually maybe the greatest one, because there was some sort of like vision and art direction involved. But in the past, they just like went to a hotel rooftop pool and like made them pose in a pool. Like, that's not like a great photo shoot.
I'm sorry. I any rockabilly is
a nunca. Yeah, I get that.
Nunca for me. Even if it's well art, even if it's well creative directed, like Dorit, I will not stand for rockabilly. I don't stand for rockabilly cosplay. I don't like vintage rockabilly. I don't like 50s diners. I don't like 50s play. There are people who like cosplay as 50s people and like live their lives, and I don't like the, so like, I'm sorry if I'm offending you, but like, I rockabilly equals death to me. So
I like fully agree.
I think it's a horrible, I think it's horrific timestamp. I think it's horrendous. I think when I think of rockabilly, I think of that band Carmen with a K.
And I don't even know horrible, that band. Like,
her heart, that like doo-wop hair.
Okay, yeah. Grease gets a pass, just the movie. Grease and Grease 2. Come on. Yay or nay? Give me a gladiator style thumbs up or thumbs down or
solely
middle.
Solely for Stalker Channing. Okay. I give it a yay.
Okay. And Michelle Pfeiffer. Only acceptable rockabilly.
Yeah. But everything else, it's a no.
Yeah.
No.
I want to take a minute to directly address Tom Sandoval and Ariana Maddox and say that I would pay premium dollars to see just a YouTube series of them doing weird beauty treatments around Los Angeles.
I know.
So I've told them this before years ago. I was like, you guys need to like do some sort of venture together where you like go just like, I was like, you should just go on little vacations or trips together and like document it. But I really think that them going around LA and doing every weird beauty treatment, like, please start that fucking YouTube channel. We need it now more than ever.
Yeah. If you're listening, either of you, like, I just want to watch you guys do things.
I want to watch you get sucked. I want to watch someone roll both of your butts. I want them to like suck all the fat up into your butt cheeks. I want them to like suction cup your faces, do like ear seating. Like, I will literally help you.
Ear seating?
Yeah. It's where you put these little teeny like gold, teeny tiny gold beads. Like, you stick them on your ear and they're supposed to like help you. I don't know with what, but I'm interested, and it costs like $40 to get it done. Like, I would love to get it done. It's like a thing. It's supposed to be like acupressure points on your ear, but I think it's just like literally like they just stick a little cutie sticker on your ear. But like, get it. I will consult and like help you do this.
Yeah, I would just watch. I mean, they need their own. I'd watch like a road trip show of Ariana and Sandoval.
I told them this like back in the days of Pumped Podcast. I was like, you guys need to do like a series called Baycation where you just go on like little road trips or something.
Yeah, like I want to see them go to Catalina. I want to see them go to like the Baja, Vancouver, just try the local eateries, have Tom Schwartz like get ideas for cocktails.
Sandoval, you like, mean? Sandoval, I don't want to see Tom Schwartz on the road.
No, I don't want to see Tom Schwartz out of LA. And I think he's dangerous.
Yeah.
But I want to see Sandoval like at a bar in Vancouver or like the Yukon, or you know what I mean? And like, I want to see Ariana because they're so funny and like they're just pleasant to watch. And I think they need some reprieve after being on the show for this long. And I think Ariana should get a vacation just for owning Jax's ass in this episode and fucking demolishing him. And it was amazing to watch. And I was like proud of her.
Yeah. Ariana was on fire in this episode, especially when she goes, I really don't understand where Stassi Bad Credit Schroeder gets off talking about my house. And I
bad
was like,
credit. Oh,
yes.
She has terrible credit.
I guess, but she still bought a house, so like the joke's on us. Also, credit scores are a scam.
They are.
That being said, I still like check mine obsessively, and I'm on a mission to get it up, but I just love shading. I love like calling out someone's bad credit.
I loved Jax just talking and Ariana going, because of your text message. Like, she's just, it was art. Anyway, yeah. So
unclear why Lisa cares about any of the shit that's going on between like Max and Dana. Like, I'm like, why? Like, what? I don't understand. But Lisa's fucking die hard about putting herself right in the middle of the drama of these people. So like, I guess we just have to put up with it.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Then we cut over to Randall and Lala's Cabbage Patch Kid house.
Lisa was good in this episode.
She had some moments. I think whenever Lisa's at an event where she can get wasted, then I like her, because it's like you can tell that she's like losing it. Like, she's not so like, oh, darling. Like, but I'm also, I don't need any sort of like, I'd rather just see her at events with this cast than see her like planning them or like getting downloaded on who said what to whom.
Yeah, I don't want to see that, but I want to see her like, going, this is my show.
She goes, later, her speech, she goes, you know, I love you all. I was like, yeah. You're fucking rolling right now.
Let's raise a glass.
When she was dancing to James and Lala's song in the front row, and then she's like, and like looked out to the side. I was like, Lisa.
She's black. She's B out.
Blammo. Randall and Lala's house is literally about to fall off a cliff.
Oh, they have dirty windows.
They have, like, I mean, I got their house is still under construction, but it literally looked like a patchwork quilt. Katie and Stassi and Britt come over to have cheese and wine. And then, like, they all take to, like, the back patio. And then Lala is, like, Lala truly is, like, has ascended into a position of power that, like, congrats to her, but she hasn't, it's not earned.
Yeah, it's, I don't want to see Lala anymore. I'm really over her.
I'm like,
I don't care.
Let's be like, for example, I love Erica on Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
She like does her own thing, but she makes no bones about the fact that she like, she did like marry a really rich guy and he like gives her money to do what she wants to do or has helped support her and get her to a place where she like is now in Chicago on Broadway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Lala acts like it's like this high and mighty thing where I'm like, you did like a classic like LA move. Like you fucked like a rich guy and then like got on the PJ. Like what? Like it's not like, I just don't understand where she gets
no,
off
she
being
acts,
like this.
She acts now like she's like, she's like, I had to fight in this town. It's like,
No, you didn't. You literally like sucked a guy's dick. Like, no shade. That do whatever you have to do. Like, I admire that. Like, I truly do. But like, let's not make bones about it. And you act all like high and mighty. And like,
yeah,
you act like somehow you just magically fell into a friendship with these people. I'm like, none of the people around you, they literally thought you were trash until you shared your man's perks with them and now they're kissing yeah. your ass. Like, do you not get that? Like, it would just be amazing to see her have some sort of like sense of the fact that like she's dealing with like trash people and that she too has like now become trash by proxy. Like, she bought into yeah. that bullshit. It's just like sad.
It's amazing. It's interesting for me to watch someone who's like quote unquote in recovery. Like, I mean, I believe that she's sober, but like working a 12-step program and she's has zero humility.
Zero.
Zero. Like James Kennedy actually has more humility than Lala.
Yeah. Like Lala.
Ostensibly. But mm-hmm. like, I don't see Lala like, I'm not saying you, I mean, some people, like we talked about it before, but like some people who get sober are still fucking assholes. But like, I don't know. There's some degree, like, whatever. No like, comment. But I just like,
I'm like, you hang out with Jax and Brittany. Like,
Yeah.
Those are two like very disordered, fucked up people that are like toxic human beings. And like you stand up for them and like take their back. Like she turns to Katie and she goes, "So, are we all good?" Like after she and Brittany like attacked Katie last episode. And I truly was like, in this moment, I was like, team Katie Maloney, because she stood up for herself. Like she's making sense. She's like, why would you throw that in my face? Like Jax obviously acted like a dick. He has problems. He needs therapy. Like, yeah. I'm going to block him. He's like fucked up. And then all these girls are like, no, don't do that. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with
you guys? Why
not? Why are you apologizing for this literal, like, human loser. Trash bag?
A fucking loser. An angry, like, that moment was so, when Brittany was like, remember, he is my husband, so you have to have some respect. I'm like, have a backbone. Like, realize please. That this man, there is, as Ariana says it more eloquently, but like there's a reason why so many people are like turned off by him and like alienated from him. Like there is no, it's not a secret why is Katie sitting there being like, I'm going to block him after knowing him for like 15 years. It's because he's a fucker.
Yeah.
And it's not like people coming after your man, Brittany.
It's like no, you chose to marry a person that is like, you chose human. To marry a horrible person. And like Ariana said, it was like, these are choices that he makes over and over and over. It's not like, oh, my brain, like I'm depressed, so now I'm acting like a dick or out of character, but normally I'm like this nice, great guy. It's no, you've literally been the worst person ever since the dawn of time.
You're just a bad, you're a bad egg.
Yeah.
You're a bad egg. You have a bad heart.
You have a bad soul. Like you are literally.
Jax is just he's just a nasty, nasty person.
Yeah.
And Brittany is, I'm horrified by Brittany. And I'm not surprised that she's so like, that's my man. Just remember that. Like, well, okay. She's being all passive aggressive. I'm going to go get a drink. It's like, please, please snap out of this. Like you still have time.
It's never too late. It truly is never too late to change your life. But like Jax to change, like, in hoping that he's somehow going to become this person that he will never be. It's like now he is dragging Brittany down. Like, remember when Brittany first came on the scene and she had like a light to her and was like a breath of fresh air. And he now like he's slowly like pickling her insides.
Mothered
with
her.
His toxicity.
He's fully mothered her.
Yeah. Like she is awful to watch. And I do believe she's that terrible. There's hope. Like she could go back to the light at any given time, but she chooses to stay in this like horrible relationship.
Yeah, she's. And I mean, he's beneath. Too. I think he's beneath her, but she's dragged him. He's dragged her down to his level. So now they're the same.
Now they're like exactly the same, or slowly like equilibrium. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm excited to watch how this all plays out because finally there's something like. Interesting and real going on, but like damn, it would even be I would watch her get out of the relationship,
watch her rebuild.
Yeah, hell yeah. Divorce is at
I'm disgusted by Lala. It's like they have this pact together. It's like it's because Lala and Randall are clearly a toxic relationship and like horrible and like messy, so it's like they're in this weird pact, like the three of them, where it's like, or the four of them, where it's like we're gonna go, you know, we're gonna
us
just
against
like
the world, like
us against the world, like we get each other's like volatile, like explosive, you know. Relationships don't have to be like,
it doesn't have to be navigating from one crisis to the next.
Yeah. If you're in a, like, relationships don't have to be like explosive. And like, if you're, you know what I mean? Like, they don't have to be like passionate, high, you know, high velocity at all times.
No.
That's not good. That's like, that's bad. And if
it's very bad,
and Lala and Brittany, I feel like they probably don't even like each other that much. They just know that like they're in similar situations probably. So it's like, they sort of like, well, let's, we have to like help each other explain away and like defend and be defensive. And like,
yeah, like our crazy, you know what I mean? Men do whatever they want.
Don't, our crazy, honey, men do whatever they want.
You. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, no, like you guys are both better than this. And like, very much are the kind of people that could have something going on your own away from this. Like, you're on a successful reality TV show. You have fans, like you have people that would support you. You're dynamic, beautiful women. Like, you don't have to be with these literal toads.
I could see Jackson Randall like robbing a bank one day.
Yeah, I'm
on, like,
sure,
a ton of Adderall, a ton of blow.
Could see them like fully like defrauding people, like pulling like tax fraud, like all sorts of like, it's just, they are truly the kind of men that like drag whoever they're with down.
And Jackson, Brittany, I didn't even realize this until the finale. They've only been married for like a month.
Yeah.
And he's deeply unhappy.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's like the second that everything, he's literally lived in a like a whirlwind of so many life changes happening in such a short period of time, and hasn't processed any of them. Like, went through like a crazy cheating scandal that played out on television. Then like his father passed away, which is really sad, but then also went immediately from that to getting back together with Brittany, and then immediately getting engaged, and then planning a huge blowout wedding. Like, it's been just like 2+ years,
and holding everyone hostage, and knowing that everyone was hostage to you.
Yeah, like, and so you've literally had 2 years.
The power that came
of
with
silencing,
all of that.
Like, no one ever questioned you because you got to play the dad card or the wedding card, and you had a reason to shut people up for 2 years, and then now you have no reason. Like, you, and now you see him literally inventing a reason, which friend of the pod Ryan Bailey pointed out. We were like texting about it, and he was like, Jax is literally like verbatim saying what Kanye West said in his David Letterman interview, like about having a bruised or broken brain, like is just like, he watches something and he's like, oh, that's me. And so now he's trying to say that he has like a depression. I'm like, get on fucking board, you idiot. Like, literally the entire world is depressed. Like, you are not special, and that doesn't give you a pass to not have people like call you out for being a dick.
Jax has terminal uniqueness.
He's awful.
He's dreadful. And yeah, it's like, go on fucking medication.
Yeah.
And shut the fuck up.
Go to therapy.
Go to therapy and be a, and try to be a good partner. Like, you're going to have kids. You're going to be a parent.
He should not.
You're going to be a
children.
Parent. He should not procreate. Brittany could be a good mom, but she needs to get out of this, because Jack's going to be one of those people that's like jealous of his kids because they get all the attention.
Yeah.
And Jax is someone that's, Brittany,
if
she
no
is,
child should have to be subject to their relationship dynamic. Like, that,
yeah, that's
is
what I'm
really
saying.
Damaging.
It's like that's going to be the priority, and the kids, it's like the drama between them in the marriage will be like the priority, and like the whole family will be built around Jax.
And kids will be used against, like, they'll use their kids against each other.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's just like really should not move.
I just got like a glimpse.
I know. I'm like kind of channeling, and I'm
like, you know, they just discovered it, like a evidence of a parallel universe.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I just saw that parallel, one of the parallel universes where Jack and Brittany have kids.
Yeah.
And it's not good.
No like innocent soul deserves that.
Are there people who like are like ride, like supporting them? Are there people,
yes,
like who watch and are like,
there are people out there, there is a parallel universe of people that watch the show and are like, leave Jax and Brittany alone, they are goals, like they stick by each other. Like, it's insane, it's wild, but also, I mean, I love it. Like, I think that's what makes this show so rich, is that like you have people that watch it aspirationally and are like, Stassi is fucking amazing, like Jackson Brittany, like goals, like Lala's slaying, but like you also have people
Lala's slaying.
But then you have people that watch it that are like, wow, this is bleak. And like, I'm learning about life and how I don't want my life to be. But I'm also
and
like,
there are people,
lolling.
And then there are people, who see like Schwartz and Katie and are like, wow, they're so cute.
I don't know if they have as many people like, standing them, but they, I'm sure there is like, they do have some stands.
Yeah. I mean, we know Stassi and Bo have stands.
I cannot imagine.
That's a parallel universe to me.
Honestly, those people are also eligible for citizen's arrest.
Laura and I are coming in the pickup
We're
truck.
Booking Domino Avi and Mickey Rourke. I'm Mickey and you're Domino are coming in a pickup truck ready to fucking citizen's arrest your ass. Yeah.
I have the barb that Tom Steyer's wife has.
And you're wearing like a wrap, like a short wrap skirt.
Yeah.
And like a bandeau like, top.
Yeah. And like ankle boots.
Floppy bang. And I'm Mickey. I kind of have the same hair that he has in that movie. And I'm like ready. I'm wearing like a bulletproof vest. And I have like an assault rifle
with
for
no
reason. With no bra. I am like, really? You see like a lot of side boob in my bulletproof vest. And I have an assault rifle just for aesthetic purposes that I never use. And I'm ready to fucking arrest you. I'm cargo pants and full on army boots with like literally chains of bullets. I have a belt of bullets and like a chain of bullets in my assault rifle. But like, I'm ready to take you downtown.
The fuck out.
Yeah.
And you have 5 o'clock shadow and mm-hmm. I'm wearing ankle boots and like a skirt and with like a bazooka. Holding
yes.
a bazooka.
You have a bazooka at all times.
I like
it
just went,
magically
yeah.
appears. Yay. I'm like, you're under arrest, motherfucker. And you're like, yay.
And I went, yay.
Yeah, shut up. You do what he says. Yeah, get in there. All of you need to shut up.
Shut up, you hear me?
You hear me? Shut up. You shut up too. You get over there. Yeah.
Yeah. I love us like on a fucking rampage. So you
just
better
like
watch out if you're
just
listening to this podcast. We will round you up. We'll come for you. If you stan Stassi and Bo's relationship or Brittany and Jax's relationship, one of these days you're gonna get your door busted down and carry it. Like, you literally will not see it coming. We will kick your fucking door in. Carrie will bazooka your front door of your house off, and we will come and arrest you.
You'll hear the little clip, 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 clip of my heels. like a fucking pirate.
Running around. Yay! We both
yeah.
like
you
smoke
shut
cigarettes.
Up. You go
shut
over up. There. Yeah. You do what he says.
You're under arrest.
You're like,
I'm Domino Harvey.
And you're like, come on, everyone.
Get in the fucking car. Do what he says. Shut up.
I just, speaking of pirate, I just thought of in the First Wives Club, when Bette Midler goes, I'm talking about her ex-husband getting an earring, and she goes, and I went, Morty, what are you, a pirate?
Pirate? What's next? A parrot?
A parrot.
Her Morty journey is so real.
What are you, a pirate?
What's next? A parrot? My favorite, too, is when they're confronting Goldie about her drinking. And she goes, she holds up like a trash can full of empty booze bottles. And she goes, Goldie goes, I was having a party. And she goes, with who? Guns N' Roses?
And I like when Stalker Channing mails her suicide note. And Diane Keaton's mom goes, and on such lovely stationery.
I love her. God, that movie is so good.
Yeah. And they're at the lesbian bar, and she goes, here's my Morty. And the woman goes, she's butch.
I live for the lesbian visibility in that movie.
Yeah, right?
It was really forward.
It was radical.
It was so radical.
Over here, bitch.
Mother, mother, I've met a man. He's a god. He's a doctor.
I love Diane Keaton, it's who, when she finds out her husband's cheating with Marsha Gay Harden, with her therapist, and she's like, "What?" And Diane does a lot of like,
"I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I ever met you, and I'm sorry I gave you all the love in the world. I'm sorry."
And she goes, and Marsha Gay Harden goes, she goes,
with my, she goes, and you were sleeping with my therapist.
And Marsha Gay Harden goes, I'm a woman. Oh my God, sorry guys.
No, I love it. It's always good to take a small detour down First Wives Club Lane.
No one is as, but one of the greatest, in my opinion, one of the best comedic performances ever is Sarah Jessica Parker in that movie.
Oh, unreal. Cemented.
They're stunning,
her
Marie. I'll take all of them.
I already knew because of Honeymoon in Vegas that I was obsessed with her, but that really was the final nail in my Sarah Jessica Parker coffin of fandom.
The Maggie Smith fork. Mm-hmm. Oh,
Jackie,
here I am.
Jackie O had one just like it.
She goes, here I am, Taste Central.
Looking at her teeth with the knife.
Yeah. They're stunning, Morton. I'll take all of them. Oh, God, make it go away. Well,
Linda,
well.
I don't think they have one. In your size.
In your size. Dumpster
Shelley.
Woman. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. James's mom. Shelley the Barracuda. James's mom comes over, and this scene was actually, like, very sweet. I teared up.
Yeah.
Jacqueline is sober. James is 45 days sober. They both seem to have like a new lease on life.
Jacqueline survived. She had to get a double mastectomy.
But she also walks back like through the history and she's like, if I hadn't have gotten sober, I wouldn't have gotten a job. I wouldn't have gotten health insurance. And then I wouldn't have been able to find out that I had cancer and needed like a double mastectomy. It's kind of miraculous.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's, she's, she feels like she's someone that is, I think James too. I feel like they're both very, like they're working the steps.
And they seem like they're, she especially, it was nice to see her in a good place because we've only seen her in like the worst places ever. And it's like that kind of darkness, while we love to see it, is untenable. Like after a while, it really sat worse.
Yeah. I think she also seemed like his mom
mm-hmm.
for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like she was being like, you're my son, like, you're my child, I'm here for you.
Yeah. And when she was like,
it was sweet.
You have your whole life ahead of, like, you never have to drink again. You can have an amazing life and your kids will never have to see you drunk. I got chill. I was like, that's fucking real.
Yeah.
Because I think they probably.
I'm like emotional thinking about James.
I know. I want like Keeping Up with the Kennedys. I'm ready for the Kennedy spinoff show.
I really hope he stays sober. I felt like he really came off the best this season. Like, he had the most growth, and I think him and Raquel, by the end of it, in a strange twist, seemed like the most, I mean, this is all like bearing, like, we don't know what's happening in their private life, but on the show at least,
yeah,
they seemed like they were like a very honest couple.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the end when Raquel was like, I'm so attracted to you right now. I was like,
she was so turned on by you. And I was like, yeah. But also it's cool that James, like, because getting sober is hard to do. And then also if you're working in like, if you have like a job that's so nightlife centric, like a DJ is also would be my personal nightmare would be being a sober DJ, just because it's like I'm a person that would have to be fueled by some sort of substance to do that job. But it seems
Samron does it.
I know it, and it seems like he loves that job enough to where he can do it sober and it doesn't troll him at all. You know what I mean? And I love that for him. He seems to have the same energy and level and excitement about DJing.
I loved at the end when Danica and Kara were fighting and you just see James in the background, like, he just like looks up and he's, and it's like, I saw that and I was like, wow, the one sober person, he's like truly sober. Like he's like looking, he's like, whoa. Like,
yeah.
This is, I'm watching this. But yeah, I was happy for his mom. I think it was, she's obviously like done some nutty things, but I hope they stay sober and I hope that they like remain sober touchstones for each other.
Same. I do love a flashback where she goes, you took your first steps at fucking Tiffany's.
Yeah.
Did I not give you everything?
There's never been a more iconic line.
Also that she robbed a bank.
Also that she charged like hundreds of dollars of Botox on one of Dodie's credit cards. Fucking crazy. Amazing. Bo and Stassi go look at a house in Mar Vista.
I fast forwarded. TBH.
You fast forwarded. I mean, what's most shocking to me is that now Mar Vista real estate is $2 million. For those of you that aren't familiar with LA, Mar Vista, like when I moved here about 11 years ago, Mar Vista was like a very up and coming area. It was just like not an area where you would see like cute houses. It was more just like apartments. And now it's like, it's very Venice adjacent also. So it's like, they would never live there. That's like the equivalent of Sheena moving to Marina Del Rey. Like it's very far away from their like standard mix. And also I was like, wow, this house is chic. Like they would never live in it.
I cut to the end and she says it's like too masculine for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Where do they live now? The Hollywood Hills?
I think they're like near Beechwood, I want to say. But Bo has a moment in this that he goes, Stassi will definitely be putting the down payment down. He was like, she's a number one best-selling author, like on a show, like all this shit. And I was just like,
scammer.
Yikes. Must be nice dirty for John. You. Yeah. Total dirty John.
DJ vibes.
And Stassi had a good burn where she goes, she was like shitting on everyone's like farmhouse houses.
That was
I just don't want something that looks like the inside of Mendocino Farm. So I was like, okay, we gotta give it up.
Yeah,
it was good.
Ira Madison always he does this tweet where it's like a Wendy Williams just going, okay, that was good. That was good, and then everyone starts clapping. And now from when I see something like that, I always think of that.
Yeah, that is very Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
The Toms meet Lisa and Nick Elaine and Elaine. Tom. And he shows them the mock of the garden at Tom Tom, which is a wild bordello.
Yeah.
And they basically say that they say yes to Lisa's Ponzi scheme.
I know. Lisa and Ken are like, oh, thank God. Because like they probably were like, somehow we're like down and out from some bad deal and needed like a quick.
Well, I mean, also it's like, okay, like you're going to have a restaurant right next to a restaurant that's not related to that restaurant. Like, yeah. No, that's like not. She's like, so the question is, will we knock down the wall? And they're like, it's like, I'm thinking, but you probably will.
Will we walk down the
will we down be wall? Putting a hole in the wall?
Well, we punch through the wall and find a secret room with some kind of ancient deity wrapped up in gold and silver to the walls.
Also, we just need to...
I don't know what I was saying.
No, I was with you.
Will we find an ancient well?
Knock down the wall.
Find a well. Some kind of well that leads down to the basin of the water table, and there's at the bottom there's a mummy in the well. What do you think about that, boys?
The scarab beetles are in the wall.
They're scarab beetles. I can hear them at night. When it's all quiet in the walls, I hear through the walls, I hear skittering, 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 skittering of the scarab beetles. They're coming for me, I know it.
They're like a...
Do you see...
Geramo, what is his name? Guillermo? He's like, all right.
Nick Lane's like, Everyone stops and they wait for like Lisa to get okay again. And Tom's like, I guess we'll put the money. And she's like, great, we'll knock down the wall then.
She's like, she goes,
do you see? I sometimes go to bed and I feel the bees are in my skull. Sometimes I wonder if my skull is becoming a beehive. And I feel them nesting in my skull. And I can hear them at night. And it's so, so loud. Anyway, would you like to go in on it with us?
What say you? They're like, we will do it, I guess.
What say you?
Also, her fucking obsession with bejeweled neckties is reaching... levels that I can't even comprehend. We've seen at least 5 different fully crystallized neckties.
It's a hell. It's not okay.
It's awful. So then we get to the TomTom photo shoot, and it gets revealed that Kara is there, and Max. Kara truly is the best thing to ever happen to this season of Vanderpump Rules.
Amazing. She also is. She looks exactly like Sheena.
Exactly. So Sheena has literally gotten to live my dream of meeting her parallel universe self. Like Sheena is living my dream. I know. And I was like, wait, Sheena's living my dream life. Kara going.
And Sheena's like
the flashback of Kara going Lisa on FaceTime.
Yeah. Exquisite. And Sheena's like, Sheena looks at her and she's like, and then in her interview, she's like, she's also kind of, she's pretty hot. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to fuck.
Sheena loves Kara. She literally goes, she's every part of me, right down to the cute wrinkly nose. And she goes, this girl is literally me, circa 2012. And like takes selfies and is truly like, we've fucked the same people. Like you are me and I am you. And Kara's like,
And then they're like, let's merge.
They should merge.
They should just like become one person.
They can shapeshift where it's like Kara could be one place, but Sheena sees what Kara sees and vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want truly, their like, buddy comedy show. Like I need their spinoff immediately.
They can switch consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I sounded drunk when I said that. They can switch consciousness. They can switch consciousness. But yeah, Sheena's like totally loving her. Later when Kara's starting shit, Sheena's just cackling.
She loves it.
Sheena gets such a kick out of Kara, and it's amazing.
Imagine seeing you, like a version of you, just like start fun drama with people would be amazing because you don't have to do anything. They just do it. And you're like, it's me.
It's also amazing that Sheena... I think she sees Kara and she's like, okay, cool. A part of me will live on forever, even after I'm gone.
Sheena is probably the most iconic person to come out of Vanderpump Rules in the sense that
I agree.
Sheena's always given us Sheena from day fucking
yes,
one.
Yes, and I agree. And I feel like it was God rewarding her mm-hmm. by giving her her like double.
The gods smiled down upon her. And honestly, if there's anything this show needs, it is more Sheena or Sheena energy. And we got that in the form of Kara.
She like the gods crafted Kara out of like clay.
Yeah.
And then they like set her, they plucked her in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a gift for Sheena. And I think she knew that. And that's why she was so giddy.
Yeah.
Because she was like, oh my God, this is what I've been praying for. Another me. I've always wanted a twin.
May we all be blessed in the sense that Sheena has been blessed.
Yeah. Thank God. By the
sword
finally.
Of Zeus. Yeah. Jax and Brittany are just sitting in a hetero hell of their own making.
Mm-hmm.
And Jax is literally terrified of Ariana. Like, when she comes over and just, like, serves him a warrant for his own arrest.
Oof.
He, like, well, can't.
She comes over and she's like, Brittany, can I have a talk with your husband? And Brittany's like, sure. I'm going to go get a drink.
Her laugh like has truly gotten
that nervous passive aggressive laughter. I'm like, ugh, I'm gonna barf.
And earlier in the episode, she also was like, well, it's a sob. Sandoval's never invited over to my house again. Like, okay, well, as if he would want to come over to your fucking farmhouse of horror.
But also, I just need to point out in the last episode, Brittany just casually takes a shot. Like, when she comes home from work.
Multiple. She's always, like, taking a shot wherever she goes. That's, like, the equivalent of, like, a glass of wine for her. It's a crazy thing to do.
Really, really disturbing. Yeah, so she's like, I'm gonna go to... yeah, that's fine. I was gonna go get a drink anyway.
You
wanna go? And then Lala follows her, and then Ariana sits down, and Jax... Okay, I have a theory that Jax... is so deeply threatened by Sandoval and specifically Ariana.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something about Ariana that it just devastates him. And I think obviously this scene solidifies it, but I think Ariana has never like given into his bullshit. And yeah. I think that he's like, I mean, he always talks about her sexuality. Like, I think he's freaked out about that. Cause I think Jax is like deeply like ignorant and, do you know what I'm talking about? I think
He's
like one of those guys that's like threatened by a woman who can also be attracted to not him.
And I think he's also threatened by the fact that like Tom and Ariana, they don't have the same constraints on their relationship that like he and Brittany have. Like they're in a relationship with no plans to get married, TBD on having kids. Like they have a lot of freedom that he will never experience again until he gets divorced eventually. And I think that that makes him really mad and resentful because I don't think that Jax really wants to be married and have a family. I think that he is subscribing to hetero lies of that nature.
But you can tell he's like so freaked out by Ariana.
Mm-hmm. He does. And he also like all his arguments completely fall apart. Like he lies to her first about not being mad at the party and says Brittany was more angry, which was not true. Then he tries to like rope Sandoval into it, saying like when he angrily texted Stassi, which has nothing to do with this. And like he just like can't, he knows he has like no pot to piss in. I wish that Ariana had gone like more ham on him because I would love to see someone just check Jax's ass. No one has really ever done that aside from Queen Laura Lee. And, like, we need that energy now more than ever.
I think she did. I think she checked him enough that it was, like, satisfying. But I agree. I think Ariana was holding back. Because I think Ariana could come up with some pretty devastating blows.
Oh, yeah.
But she didn't need to, which I think was, like...
It was restrained power.
It was restrained, and I think it was enough that freaked... I think it freaked him out, which was great. I think it spun him out. Because he started like unraveling fully after this moment.
Yeah, it was a warning of like the hammer that could be brought down should he decide to like continue down this path with her.
Ariana took a pistol out and just shot into the ceiling and just walked away. That was basically what this was. And she says, as you said earlier, she goes, she's like, Jax is trying, like as he's lying, she just goes, yes, from the texts you sent. Like she just doesn't stop and he just can't handle it. And he's like, well, what about and then at the end she says, this is who a person is. It's not like, she's like, this is who she's basically like, this is who Jax is. He's just he's a bad guy. Mm-hmm. He makes shitty decisions because he's a mean person.
He's a bad dude.
So then Jax starts spiraling.
It also looks so hot in Tom. Ugh. Everyone's like miserable.
when he takes his, when he refuses to put the uniform on, and he's so pissed in that picture, and he looks like he's going to kill someone.
He looks like he would strangle the first person he sees.
What which is Ariana's brother.
Yeah, which is Jeremy, who looks surprisingly hot. He's like wearing a turtleneck. Really, I was like, who's that hot guy? And then I was like, oh my God, it's Jeremy. But like, yeah. Jax arguing with Lisa is like the first way to like go down in flames. And his like wearing that hideous navy shirt. And it's like, he definitely does have like a black shirt. And then he's like, I'm sick of being like treated on the same level as other bartenders. And then Brittany's like, he doesn't even have a star shirt. and Lisa shutting Brittany down.
Just defending him.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, I can attest. He doesn't have the black shirt. And Lisa's basically like, she goes, shut the fuck up, Brittany.
Yeah. Stop defending
and then
him.
And then Lisa chucks a shirt.
Chucks a shirt, hits Danica in the face. I was like, that's rude.
that was like one of the things that I loved. I loved Lisa like owning Jax.
Yeah. And like forcing him to put on that scoop neck shirt from hell.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just it's like so has hot. No choice but to be like,
just sad. It's like, the Toms are in the center, like the owners, and Jax is like just a bartender. And he's
and
like,
Brittany's like down on a table, like sitting away from Jax. And then Lala, front and center. Lala's Lisa's pet now. I think she's being groomed for nefarious purposes. And Lisa knows too. What power she has, because she treats her very differently now than the other women.
Lala is like some kind of Manchurian candidate that she can like get to like set things on fire or like scare people.
Yeah,
she like gets Lala to like intimidate people. Like Lala will drive to someone's house and like throw a brick through the window.
She definitely will. She is the and, rage. Like,
so Lisa has found a way to harness it, and it's working.
Jackson, Lisa's sidebar, and he tells her that he's broken his brain. And I just wrote, I'll say his brain is broken.
It's called cocaine.
Yeah.
But Lisa's like, look, it's been 4 months. It's been 4 months, and look at you now. You're going to ruin your marriage, too.
Your marriage, do you think it's good? He goes, my marriage is great. And she's like, it's not great.
It's not great, Jack. And he's like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And then he and Britt like disappear. And then at the end, then they all come back for like the year anniversary celebration party. And they're so pumped to see Randall. And I was just like, God, this like foursome. Ugh.
Yeah. That's and what Kate, I mean.
Yeah.
They're all lower companions.
Very much so. And also, it's like they would suck to hang out with as a sober person.
Oh.
You want to be around coked out Jax, bloated Rand, and like shot tequila shot Brit. And that is like a fun hang.
No.
And just like sip on some sparkling water.
Tequila shot Brit.
Ariana tells Katie and Tom that Kristen's coming with the guy she's dating, Carter.
Oh my God.
I'm just obsessed with like Kristen's breakup journey. I'm like, it's so messy. And like, it's
I love
classic
that,
Doty. Yeah. I love like
he's
we're
like, dating. Like he's a new person.
Yeah. It's like Doty's going to Doty and there ain't nothing you can do about it.
She also walks in while Katie and Stassi are shitting on her and like walks right by her.
Ugh. It was so...
Walks right by them.
They're also just like... They're so lame. Like, they love to talk shit, but if they didn't have each other to back the other one up, they'd be nothing.
Yeah.
They only exist as a twosome. Like,
they would also, if neither of them had each other, they would be like friends with Kristen still.
Yeah. Completely.
They've like just worked each other into like this, it like gives them something to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that they're all, everyone on the show is like trauma bonded, but Katie and Stassi, I believe, are like trauma bonded over like just like mutually hating Kristen at this point. And it gives them something to talk about and like something to focus their energy on.
Because if they had to look in her for so long, they know it was had nothing to it.
Kara sidles up to Max. Oh, and he's at the bar, and she goes, "I haven't seen you in a while."
She's wasted.
She's slurring.
She has no. Her eyes are black and void. Like she has nothing behind her eyes. There is no light, and it's amazing.
If you told her she was still in Vegas,
you in a while.
She would be
like, yeah,
I love it.
I'm at Caesar's Palace.
And then you
we're
see
here.
We're here. I haven't seen you in a while. Max is clearly so uncomfortable and also such a dick. It's like, you fucked this person. Just be normal.
I know. I know. Be not like. Be nice to the people you've
been inside this person. Like, there's no reason. If they have not done anything psychotic to you, there's literally no reason to be a dick.
Yeah. Just like. I think it's just a good lesson. Just be nice to the people that you've fucked.
Be friendly. If you fuck someone, it's chill. It's not weird.
Just say hi. You don't have to strike up a deep combo. Just like acknowledge them.
Yeah, be kind. Charlie.
Be kind, rewind.
Be kind, rewind. And remember that you're the one, you guys merged private parts. So like there's nothing to be
uglies.
You bummed uglies. That's also a term gross. Like tough titties. It's so gross to me.
It's so nasty.
Charlie loves a two-piece outfit with like
Charlie's
cutouts.
Like, look at this outfit.
She goes, am I serving? And I was like, yes, you are.
It was like a poor man's Elizabeth Hurley Versace outfit.
Yeah, it's very like Fashion Nova, but
I live for it.
Yeah, she's looking great. So if I was in that outfit,
I'd be feeling good too.
You need to.
Am I serving?
Am I serving? You'd be like, I'm serving you a search warrant because your house is filled with illegal drugs for going out in an outfit like that, is what people would say to me. You're not well. I'm serving you a warrant to 5150 you and place you at Cedars up for 72 hours.
I'd be on the phone already if you were walking up to me in that. I'd be like this.
Mm-mm.
Cedars.
Hello, Cedars.
And if I walked up in that outfit, you'd be like...
UCLA? James has to apologize to Randall, which... I mean, I am appreciative of him making amends, but I also was like, that felt weird to see James be like so... like, deferential to him. It just feels like there's holes in the story because, like, yes, James talked a lot of shit about him and, like, he might owe him an apology, but it's weird to see just, like, this one-sided, one-sided groveling without, like, we never got to see, like, the 50 Cent drama between Randall, Lala, and 50 Cent, which feels like something that should have been in this season and is a big bone that they had to pick with James because James, like, brought it up, like, or laughed at it, like, and that was part of the beef. So it's just like, okay, why are we giving, like, Randall and Lala, like, a hero edit?
I also think when you first get sober, at least in my experience, like, I wanted to apologize to, like, everyone.
Yeah.
You just feel like you're like on the ready to, you know what I mean? Like, I think because everything's really emotional in the first few months of it. So it's like, you just feel this urge to like atone.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's maybe too soon. So that could be maybe why he was, but yeah, he was definitely like, I was like, don't fucking grovel at Randall's feet.
Yeah. Like you can give him an apology and say you're sorry for like calling.
Yeah. Just be like, hey, I'm sorry. I called you like, the names, and then Randall's like, maybe we'll invite you to our wedding. I was like, oh great,
cool.
Jax was like, oh, that'd be so great, man. I was like,
would it be great,
James? I was like, oh,
you want to go to Newport Beach mid coronavirus pandemic and watch Randall and Lala say their forever vows to each other, and that would be great. You want to eat some shrimp cocktail, and that'll be great at Randall and Lala's wedding in Newport Beach.
Is that where it was?
That's where it's going to be, allegedly. I mean, they're trying to get married, like, in July. I'm like, honey.
I'm like this. Buca de Beppo.
Buca
de have it a Buca
Beppo
de
Venture.
The Buca de Beppo Venture.
Ariana confronts Stassi about what she said, and then we realize that Stassi didn't even say it. Lala said it, and Sheena completely misheard and misreported the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love Stassi going, Sheena, get the fuck over here. And Sheena's like,
Sheena's face, too. I captured it. The look of terror on her face was
she
like.
She still is pretty, terrified of Stassi.
Pretty pure. Her nostrils flaring. So they come over.
I do love, like, Stassi and Sheena's relationship dynamic, like,
yeah,
from day one. Like, it will never change from day one, episode one of Vanderpump.
They love each other.
They love each other, but it's like a really good, like, it's a good dynamic. And then Sheena comes over and she's like, yeah, I mean, like, they, you said this, and like, that's what happened. Like, you said, like, let's be an adult, like, don't have furniture. Like, what? Like, what am I gonna do? Hi, ponytail. This Sheena is a force to be fucking reckoned with.
Can I just say this, and maybe shame on me, but like, in this moment, I appreciated Stassi because she, it, like, I felt like the old Stassi was back for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she wasn't pretending to be like this, like, quirky, fun, like, well, you know, and it was like just Stassi being like, get over here to someone.
Yeah, like that.
Using terror. That's
I just
what I want to
see. Stassi's when, reign of terror.
And when Kara shows up and Stassi just goes, not now. Like, that was really funny to me when Stassi just went, okay.
So cause
she, it was like she knew what Kara was doing.
Mm-hmm.
She was just like, not now.
Not now. Kara literally slinked up, sits right next to them at the bar, and like with a crazy smile on her face. And Stassi goes, not now. Kara goes, it's fine. Everything is okay.
She has that blackout. Everything is okay. She's like this. Everything is okay. Where you're not really looking.
Everything is okay.
And when she hits the chair, there's like a cymbal crash.
I was crying. I rewound this.
Stassi
like
also,
five
Stassi
times.
Also looks at the camera.
It was amazing. We need like, more just like. Breaks. We gotta break the fourth wall. At this point, like, we have to. There is no choice.
They do later.
There should only be this kind of messiness from here on out. Like, we do not... Life is fucking short. And if this pandemic has taught us anything, we simply do not have the time to pussyfoot around with, like, Dana and Max and Brett's storylines. We just, have it. Life is too
Kara,
short.
We need Stassi yelling at Sheena from across the bar. And we need... Kara like and Danica fighting.
Yeah, we need to force all these people together at all times. There should be no hierarchy of like, we're OG cast films here and like newbies film here. There needs to be event-based and just like force them into situations with each other and break the fourth
it's
wall.
It's fine. Maybe. Everything is okay.
Everything is okay.
I love how she just inserted herself.
I love also like with the
top dog. Like those are the like those are like
she doesn't give a fuck.
She doesn't give a fuck. She went right in. She's on vacation. She's in LA for one night only, and she went straight for the jugular, aka Stassi, and she got under Stassi's skin. So she succeeded.
You have no choice but to respect that.
Amazing.
Props.
It's like. You know, that advice, like, if what did Martha Stewart one time was joking that when she was in jail, she went up to, like, the toughest person she saw and picked a fight. It's like that kind of thing.
That's the only way to get respect in this world, truly. And, like, Kara also, weirdly, I felt like everything was going to be okay just because Kara said that.
She comforted me. She was, like, kind of like, guys.
It's fine. Everything is okay. In my moments of deepest, darkest depression, I need Kara. Need to fly Kara to LA from Vegas, ply her with alcohol, and have her burst into my room, sit next to me on my bed, and go, "It's fine. Everything is okay."
Stassi is cracking up.
You know who Kara reminds me of is Isla Fisher's character in Wedding Crashers.
Oh, and Bachelorette.
Yeah, she's like exactly like that girl. It's not actually.
She looks so much like Sheena. It's crazy.
Sheena loves it. Sheena's looking on proud.
It's like Twin Peaks. It's like when Laura Palmer is like two people.
It truly cousin, is whatever. Sci-fi. This took a turn. Like, this was the moment that Vanderpump did a full genre shift. Like, it please, did. Bravo editors, like, bless your souls. Bravo network execs, like, I hope that you're listening. I hope that you know I have nothing but respect for your journey as my president. But, like, please just keep this going. I beg of you. I beg of you.
It's fine.
Everything is okay.
So then Danica sees what she knows she should have done, which was start a fight with... She sees Kara and she's like, God damn it, she's doing it well. So Danica immediately gets really pissed.
Where did this rage come from, though, is my big question.
It's because it's because Danica, it's like the new... It's totally like she's newer than I am and she's getting more attention right now.
I think it's deeper. It's like that. Maybe I understand that rage, but like there was something that was way deeper. Like Danica's crying at one point. She gets so frustrated that she begins to weep and she goes, "I love that you're fucking laughing at me." And then she's like, she's fucking laughing, like weeping, crying. That's like beyond beef into like deeper psychological issues that I hope that we can explore in next season.
Maybe she had like a psychotic break or like some kind of psychosis and saw Kara as like a childhood bully or something.
I was like, why does she care so much? Danica like leans into old Brett, who we were robbed of any sort of old Brett storyline. Fuck you for that, whoever made that decision. And she's like, she's sitting over there on that stool with her head on Stassi's shoulder. And then it cuts to Kara and you see her pointing at Stassi's like, barrettes, and she goes, OTD in the hair.
She's trolling Stassi.
It's amazing. And then Danica comes over to put the smack down. She's like, I'm sitting over here watching you be an idiot. And Kara goes, I'm happy to know that you're sitting down watching me because that's where you should be. And I was like, yes.
And then she's like, oh, God. And she goes over, you just hear her talking shit to Kristen and old Brad.
Dodie and then Kara comes like, right. Bear hug her. And like,
Dodie's like bear hugging Danica because they have similar energy. And Danica is crying. And then Kara comes over to them and Danica just goes, who are you? What are you doing here?
Kristen goes, walk away. Walk away. And fucking Kara goes, I don't need to walk. Anyways.
Who are you? What is she's like freaked out, but I think she saw Kara's like true form as like a daemon.
I think a daemonic for sure, but like she's literally born of the underworld.
But I think Danica somehow saw that. Like the veil was lifted and she saw what Kara's true form looked like and she was freaked out.
Kara is literally us. Like she's Sheena's like underworld like version.
Her tethered.
That like Vegas is truly us central.
Yeah.
That's where all our tethereds live. And Kara has crawled out of the tethered universe to wreak havoc on the servers.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Why are you doing this? What's wrong with you? And then so they start having like a fucking screaming fight. Danica is raising hell. And the best part about this fight is Lisa, it's Danica's fault. Even though Kara did exactly what she what she like set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because Danica at the end was thrown out and Kara wasn't.
Well, Danica also shoved her. Danica will take things to a physical level of shove, which is like, wow, there's serious rage issues. And she shoves Kara and then spills wine all over Lala's hideous outfit. And I was like, that's what you deserve for wearing that outfit, Lala. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Earned that wine.
And then
James and Lala's song.
Oh my God. Lala also standing in front of Raquel, like she's blocking him from, like, Lala's so weird about, like, she's so territorial of James, and she like loves to like power play Raquel. And she was like physically standing in front of her boyfriend, like she was like the main, like, I know she was singing, but like the way she was positioned,
what a bitch.
Was like, I know what you're doing.
That's so true. Their song, because we cut horrific. To like a commercial break, I think, and then we came back, and then that song was happening, and I literally had like a mini seizure. It like took me a while, like I kind of jolted in my seat. It took me a bit to like get my bearings and like fully understand what we were all being subjected to. And then it was like, oh, this is James and Lala's wild tune.
Yeah, it's insane. It's an insane song. It was so weird. And I love seeing James lip syncing.
James is great. And then Lala's doing her like,
oh God,
that dance that she always does.
So offensive.
And then Lisa's K'd out dancing in the front. Literally, I've been Lisa at an after hours rave, literally on ketamine in front of a bass speaker, letting like the music just like roll through me. Like, literally 10, not even 10 feet, 10 inches away from the DJ's face. Just, like, just being like, that was Lisa.
Yeah.
And then Randall, okay, so Sheena's like feeling herself, as she should. She's hot and single and like has no rules and is down to be free. And she like gets up and is like dancing on a bar stool. And there was a weird moment where Randall turns to Lala and he goes, look at Sheena. She's trying to take your moment. I was like, no, shut up, Rand. She is definitely not.
Randall, grow the fuck up.
Everyone's, okay, my theory is everyone's really threatened by Shishu.
They are.
Sheena was the first to get first to get divorced, to get out of her shitty marriage situation. She's single now, hotter than ever, and just like living her life.
She lives at the marina. Like, she's just doing whatever she wants. But yeah, she's also just like, they've always been threatened by her since the start. Sheena's always been like the one that's she's always been like the Hester Prynne of. She's always been the Scarlet Letter. Everyone like loves to like go shame, shame, shame at her, but like she's the freest one.
And why shouldn't Sheena be allowed to just feel herself?
Yeah,
it's a fucking party. Remember?
Then Lisa and Jax fight.
Yeah. Dana and Max have like a weird conversation that who gives shit. It's like, who literally actually cares? Like, please stop.
And at the end, Max goes, remember, I hired you.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, that's creepy.
That's sexual harassment.
Lisa gives her wasted speech. I love each and every one of you.
Let's raise a drink. I love each and every one of you.
Love all of you.
I even love the beetles in the walls. Scarabs.
And the click, scarabs click, in click, the walls.
They go click, 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 click at night.
They
and everyone's like
flesh.
Silent.
Everyone's like boop.
And then
Jax and Tom have like a real, I think their heart-to-heart like breakup, friendship breakup talk was very realistic and like makes a lot of sense. Like, they should not be friends anymore. Tom is like outgrown that friendship. It doesn't serve either of them.
Yeah.
And but then like the witches of WeHo have their fight and it's still like extremely unclear like why Katie and Stassi hate Kristen so much.
It's sad. They go, the witches of WeHo, dunzo. And then you just see Kristen's face and I was like, also
blinks also when they're like, they're like, we hear that you're back. She's like, hey, what's up? And they're like, well, what's up is like, we hear back with Carter. And Kristen just blinks and it's like she's been caught.
But she loves being caught.
She loves it. She loves like the drama of it all. But it's also like, Dodie, you're better off without these two bitches in your life. Like, you've given them so much. And they also are just like lemmings with each other. Like, they're so school, like, stupid. Like, even when it's done, Stassi's like, I'm going to go in because my brain's going to explode if I keep talking. Katie, let's go. And Katie's like, I'm going to go too. And they like walk off. And it's like, you guys are so lame. Like, try and have a conversation without both of you involved for once in your fucking
Chris, I just love Kristen.
They go, what's up? Is like, we heard you're like dating Carter again. She goes,
also Kristen's when she at the end, her dramatic exit from the bar.
She stalks out those long her legs.
Her legs are like 12 feet long.
She's all leg. And then Jax says to Tom, he goes, something is wrong with me. I was at Home Depot buying flowers and breaking down and crying in aisle 8. I wish I was there.
And Sandoval, I know. And Sandoval's like, don't use, he's like, that's not an excuse for, that doesn't give you a hall pass to be an asshole.
Yeah. Also, it's like, yeah, of course you're breaking down. You have like unprocessed emotions about like your father's death and you have no relationship with your mom as like a result of that. Like, I would be crying uncontrollably too at random hours of the day.
And you're you're married to someone you don't love.
Yeah, you're married to someone that you literally don't respect for the, and you've now tethered yourself to them legally and financially for the rest of your life until you decide to go through the intense legal process of getting a divorce. I'd be crying at Home Depot too. Like, what? Okay, yeah, that makes perfect sense. It's shocking that you're not crying more in random locations. And the slow build up of the theme song fade out was incredible. I felt like I was peeking.
But also Lisa says at one point, Jax goes, he goes, this is why my show is so successful. He's talking about Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
And Lisa goes, it's my show.
It's my show.
First of all, it's my show.
Wait, also it's crazy to me. I forgot that Jax has a tattoo that says Tom and I.
I know.
But also
they really emphasize that.
They really emphasize that, but he got mad at Tom and they had like a friend breakup, but then he goes immediately to Lisa and he's like, I love Tom. Like, he's supposed to be like, I was like, where, what's going on? Like, you've officially done too much coke. Like, you're no longer making sense. And then he goes, Lisa was like, you have to be friends again, darling. And he goes, Lisa, it's not just a show. Like, basically saying, like, you don't, trying to kind of imply, to me, it seemed like he was trying to imply, like, you don't care about, like, our relationship. Like, you just care about the show, but I'm actually talking about, like, real relationships. She's like, don't say that to me.
Don't say that to me.
I was dying.
And she goes, you know what you could do is you could go outside and find a coyote and open its mouth and step inside it and live in it for a year and sort of see out of its eyes and become part of it and then use its legs to walk
in the crawl around wood hills and seed scavenge out there for what scraps of food you get in this life. He's like, Lisa.
He's like, Lisa, you're on ketamine.
She goes, I know, darling.
Yeah, and then it goes, Justin. And he goes, one day I will die. I was like
yeah, you will. Probably sooner rather than later at this rate.
And then it just ends.
I know. It ends on, like, Jax admitting he has, like, hypertension.
What's next season going to be like?
Next season, I hope, is, like, a psychedelic fucking K-hole descent into madness. I will accept nothing less than fucking chaos at this point.
Yeah.
I want scarab beetles, a fucking Ankh. I want to resurrect someone from the dead. I want, like, Ankh. Kara to, yeah, like, you know, the Ankh. Like,
yeah.
I want, like, Ankhs. I want Lisa to transition from crystallized ties to, like, wearing huge Ankhs and go, like, full. I want her to get into, like, Egyptology and get, like, real. Like, I want Egypt themed.
I was just going to say, I want like Anubis just to be in the background.
Yes. I want like pyramids. I need like pyramid energy. I want
Devs
mummy.
Energy when they're, I want to see Devs like Christ on the cross in the static. I want to see like Joan of Arc getting burned at the stake in the static. Yeah.
I only Devs from here on out. I want Kara to be in every scene. Hey,
it's fine. It's okay.
I want Sheena's ponytail to be 40, the length of a football field. I want Katie and Tom to get divorced. I want Jax and Brittany to get divorced. I want Stassi and Bo to break up. I want to document the fact that their marriage is now pushed back at least a year and hopefully will never happen. I want her to come to her senses and kick Bo out of her life. He is a leech. I want all the women to be single. I want Kristen to actually meet the love of her life, get married, and have twins.
Well, it seems like she does. She has met someone that she really likes.
Yeah, so I hope that she has two twins and they're beautiful.
I hope Sheena just ascends over LA and just literally levitates over LA for a full year.
And you look up in the sky and you're like, who is that? And it's just Sheena, and her football length ponytail is just like a ribbon dancing in the wind.
And she's just staring at the ocean. And then when she comes back down to the ground, she's like received some kind of divine message.
Yeah. Sheena becomes the sun next season. And Kara becomes Sheena.
The moon.
Like, Sheena becomes ethereal and just part of the ether. And Kara assumes she picks up where Sheena left off.
Yeah. And she's like, my name's Sheena. Like, she just drops the name Kara and she just becomes Sheena.
Yeah. And she records, like, Good as Gold. Like, we just reshoot all of Sheena's scenes, but with Kara.
Yeah. It's Black Swan.
Yeah. I want Sheena as the sun to focus her gaze on Dana, Max, and Brett and turn them into stone.
Yeah.
And then their stone statues, one to be placed outside of every restaurant. Sir, Tom Tom, and Pump.
As a warning.
Yeah. And have we forgotten anyone?
Dana?
No, she's a stone.
Oh, she's a stone.
Yeah.
No, everyone's nailed, I think.
Yeah, Danica and Charlie, they get to stay. James and Raquel get to stay. James's mom gets to stay. I'd watch Danica like murder Jax. I think that would be cool.
She wants to.
She would love it. I want old Brett. He's now bumped up now that Dana, Brett, and Max have all been turned to stone. We now promote old Brett to a full-time cast member.
I love this idea.
Peter still gets like one line every season, so he can get paid like $5,000 a year to be.
And then Billy Lee comes back.
And then Billy Lee fucking comes back.
And takes over.
And fully takes over. Like becomes. Oh, what about Lala and Rand?
There's
an earthquake. They have to live in a house. Falls off a cliff.
Yeah, their house has like. It's like hanging. It's like Kate Bush's house that's like in danger of falling into the sea.
Yeah. They survive, but barely.
Yeah.
And they're forever humbled by the experience. This is great.
Write it down.
I'm in. Write it down. Make it happen. Bravo, if you're listening, do it.
Well, another year.
We're both available to consult at any given time.
Please pay us.
Pay us. Just do it. And trust me, your show will be better.
Another year, another season. Wow.
Thank you for going on this journey with me.
Thank you for having me again. And I'm so honored that I got to close out this season.
You're welcome literally anytime.
Follow Lara at Lars Marie.
Follow Carrie at Ikaddle.
I was going to say .com.
You always say follow at LarsMarie.com, and I just love that, so I don't ever correct it. Because you can go there, but you can also go...
LarsMarie.com and follow me at Icaro.
Icaro. And yeah, for bonus episodes, etc., go to patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.
Follow me at Icaro.gov.
Icaro.edu. And that's it.
Stay safe. Bye. See you next year for... Bye.
Well, there will be reunions, but also bye.
I know I'm feeling.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.